Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
We all know upcycling has surged in popularity in recent years. We've got the likes of YouTube, TikTok, they're all of them, those kind of platforms, they're absolutely jammers with hack videos on how to paint furniture, switch out your knobs, and generally bring old stuff back to life, I suppose. Trust me, I know, because I've tried and failed miserably. Loads of it. But it is brilliant because it's sustainable, and there's now a future incentive to get upcycling. There's a national competition where you can win money, cash. Don't we all love a bit of cash? So joining me now is architect Roisin Murphy, who I know a lot of you are going to know from the amazing Home Rescue TV show. And she is here to fill us in. Good morning, Roisin.
Good morning, Lottie. How are you?
I'm great this morning. How are you?
I'm a bit frazzled, but nevertheless, I'm here. I waited 10 years for an orthodontic appointment for my kid this year, and it came at the same time as I got to be interviewed by you, so apologies.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Are you in an orthodontic surgery at the moment?
No. We left. We got on time. It was 8 o'clock in the Phoenix Park, but I was so excited. It was one of the most exciting things. You know the way you're waiting? If you have kids, anybody with kids who's waiting for treatment will know you're there like going, in 1 year now, and he's had to wait for his teeth to mature and all this sort of stuff. And anyway, there you go.
So you made it in the end, Roisin.
I made it in the end. Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you then. Particular thank you, I suppose, for coming on to talk to us this morning if you're that busy. Tell us about the competition. What's the idea behind it?
I think that I've always had a huge passion for upcycling. And even in terms of, I know, say, for the last kind of decade or so, upcycling has been this kind of thing where you paint a piece of furniture and you bring it back into fashion. There's all the chalk paints and all that sort of stuff. But we've had a kind of convolution of Brexit, supply chain issues, and now the COVID thing on top of it, as well as the climate emergency, which has kind of brought upcycling from left field right into centre vision. Like, if you aren't using, reusing, upcycling, you're paying through the nose for something, or you're very lucky, the building material. So upcycling has become kind of right bang in the middle of the zeitgeist, if you know what I mean. And it has been for in mainland Europe, it would have been for a long time, where a lot of very edgy furniture designers have been taking bits of wood, attaching lamps and lights onto it. And we see it here in some of the really on-trend bits of furniture shops. You'll see kind of like basically things that your mother would have said, you didn't pay 500 quid for that, did you? Because it looks like it's been upcycled. It's now the fashion for things to look like they've been upcycled, look like they've been taken out of a skip. But it's really, really important. And the national this upcycling competition, we had it last year. I was lucky enough to be one of the judges. And they have this thing. Now, I'm just going to say how relevant and important it is. One of the community groups made a slow cooker that is made from a curtain and polystyrene beads. So you basically, yeah, I know. Now, I'm just think about this in terms of energy cuts, right? You basically put a pot with your stew, your meat, potatoes and everything into it, and you put it into a bag of polystyrene beads and it's a slow cooker. By the end of the day, it's cooked. And you're talking, you know, it's steam is coming out of this thing. There's caravans that have been taken in and upcycled. I was looking at this today going, God, that really is relevant. Like the idea that you couldn't, because we are facing all sorts of dramatic cuts and stuff. So we didn't think about that last year, but this year it's really, really relevant. And upcycling is, now I'm going to use the F word, everybody goes, don't say it, Roisin. It's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
And I think the great thing about it is things don't maybe necessarily have to be perfectly pretty.
No. Better not.
So it that kind of takes the pressure off if you want to try.
100%. And actually, it's also particularly with kids, if in schools and stuff, like, it's not always about making something pretty. Sometimes there was a game won last year, you know what I mean? Like, it's about kind of reinventing things. It's about using your imagination to take something and say, actually, this could be something completely different.
So who exactly is coming up with these ideas? Who are the kind of people taking part in the competition?
There's a lot of men's sheds. There's a lot of community groups who enter the community competition. So if you're a school, I actually think it's perfect for TY students, personally speaking. I think would really push any secondary school who has bunches of TY, especially if you have a woodwork class, to look at this competition, because, you know, you're a perfect group for us. The other people are just individuals. There's women who made this lovely one of a little chair that was turned into a fire engine for her son. You'll see it online. It's a tiny, she painted a little chair red and put the steering wheel at the front. And it's really cute. Then there was one really lovely one of a woman who had, I think she lost her mom or her granny, and she basically redid the caravan that had been kind of lying outside in the garden, lying fallow. So there's a notion that it can be any, you know, it can be very big projects or very little projects. And it is something that you'll see all over the world. Like there are people, there was a wonderful one I put out on Twitter last night, where it's a young fellow from Nigeria who made a go-kart out of kind of a bike and metal. And we've had over the couple of years things like, say, on the Late Late Show, Ryan had a guy who made, you know, it was those COVID cabanas, the kind of COVID lockdown bars.
Yes.
Plethora of them. And we've had a few of them barbecues where people get barrels and cut them in two. It's like, it is really us. It's all a very Irish kind of, you know. The only thing is, before, you know, it would have been just painting furniture. It's now kind of, it's gotten that little bit more complex because it's become far more, because of YouTube, because of TikTok, people are fascinated by it. And because of material shortage, so people are going, one woman did a last year, I will shut up at some stage.
No, just sure you're here to talk. Keep going.
All right. But she put a sink on top of an old chest of drawers. Right. So with the waste coming down through it, I mean, it looks like something from a really posh hotel. And she didn't do anything else except get the plumbing, drill the hole. But that one as well, because it was really something that, instead of going in and having to buy a really expensive bathroom piece of kit, they went, OK, I'm actually going to make this out of an old dresser, keep the dresser alive, and also make it really posh, because you put the sink and got the brass sinks.
Do you know what else I think? I think directing at a TY students is such a good idea, because I think if you're at that age where you're 15, 16, if you start teaching your brain to think like that at a young age, that is such, it's just going to stay with you for the rest of your life. You're going to constantly look at things and think, what else could I use this for? Whereas, you know, it's not second nature to a lot of us. We'd really have to put the thought process in and the work ethic. But I think if you're doing something like that from a younger age, it's something that you're going to get really good at.
Yeah, and I think kids are doing it in fashion. Like Junk Couture has taken that moment. I know my own kids were very involved in Junk Couture, and that became something. Like, you know, it really became a movement within TY, and it would be great to see My Waste in the same way, because I think that they do it in paint up in the Regeneration Centre, the Rediscovery Centre, where they have, like, everybody brings all your waste paint. It's another initiative they threw in. But the circular economy is here to stay. This idea, you know, that notion, I suppose, that I would have grown up in, definitely, where we were all into, it was this obsession with designer. That's definitely not there in the younger generation. They kind of go to charity shops. They do not think, I'm going to go out and get the latest Louis Vuitton. They don't even go in for the old Yeezy thing, which I thought there was, when they're around 10 or 11, there seems to be a kind of an awareness of fashion. But the thing about, I think, for this thing of waste stuff is, you're really teaching people, you know, it's all within our own remit. We can, you know, we can survive and thrive in emergencies, and teach our kids that this we'd be like, it's how humans have adapted for centuries and millenniums, is they adapt in crisis. We don't just turn up to the perfect dinner party and go, I mean, you know, this is humanity fully evolved. Like, you kind of have to learn by kind of knocking two bits of stone together. And I think this is the perfect thing where you go, OK, needs most, and this, and it's fun. The F word again.
No, I like the F word. Roisin, I think, well, it's probably one of the easiest and the most done DIY jobs is just, you know, the old respraying of the cabinets. So tips around this, people are looking for DIY or go professionals?
Oh, gosh, DIY.
Really?
But the thing I would always say as well is when you're upcycling your kitchen, I suppose the easiest thing to do with an upcycled kitchen is to take the, you know, if it's a really old kitchen, you know, the wood is usually probably better than anything you were going to get in any kitchen manufacturers now, bar you're going to go to your local joiner. Like the things, then there's a rule of thumb that will kind of incentivize people about this, that anything that was made 20 years ago is apparently better made. Even in furniture, it's heavier, it's got more robustness. So it is, but because of that, you can also, with that thing that we were talking earlier, the messier the better, the idea of texture, right? You're no longer looking for that kind of designer glossy factory finish. That's gone by the wayside as well, like kind of where we all wanted perfection and minimalism. There is a thing even in architecture, is that the we were hosting a conference last week and we were talking, we have these great host of Irish architects who won hundreds of awards internationally, but one of the big things they talk about now, even themselves, is this no build phenomenon, the idea that you build as little, so you again, you outsource as little, you try and do as much as possible, you keep the tin of paint that you had, say, from paint in the living room, you might add a bit of PVA to make it more robust, you put a good undercoat on and you paint away, so you're using up your used tins of paint. So everything is about, because paint is a really difficult one to dispose of. Like if you're getting rid of paints, they are one of the most expensive things for us to send to away for, because they're usually toxic. So if you're reusing old paint, you're again promoting this circular economy to the my waste, the whole thinking of that constant reuse and you know, not putting and sending things to landfill.
Jesus, I would never throw away paint. I'd always keep it in case, even you know. Well, in my home anyway, I get given A2 for.
That's exactly correct, though.
But I would get given A2 by my husband for leaning against the wall when I've just done my tan or something. And that's where having the backup paint comes in handy. But sometimes I'd be like, oh, crap, I better just go over that if I can't get it off. And I get out the old paint and just give it a quick little lick.
I'm of the, my problem is the when I'm doing my roots and I forget to do the roots and I put on the, you know, the spray that
yes.
goes onto the, and then I'm up in the attic and my head touches the attic, or I get a makeup brush and I'm putting on my makeup, one of the fancy brushes, and I daub the ceiling of the attic. So it's full of these kind of disgusting brown streaks. So I am your sister on that one. That's where you need to get a good paint that you can wipe clean.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about Home Rescue, Roisin, because, yes. Listen, hugely popular. It's yeah, fantastic. Listen. And it's had...
Yes.
Go on.
Well, Home Rescue is back. It is definitely back in the spring. But I am not with it this year. Oh. I have had... Yeah, I know. It's very hard, but I thought I might as well. When I saw the question come up, I thought I'm going to have to talk about it. I had to step aside this year because I had a really tough last year. I lost my dad. I had a really sick kid.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Roisin.
I know. I'm so sorry as well. But at the same extent, my family just really needed me. So now I'm not stepping. I mean, Home Rescue is still going on. Peter is still going on, and the team will still go around and do the houses and all that sort of stuff. But I just had to step aside for the year. A bit. I'm calling it menopausal year break, like maternity leave. But I had to kind of take. But I am not stepping away fully from work. I'm still involved in making programs about upcycling and all that sort of stuff. But I just have to. I have to stay at home. I got grounded, Lottie. I got grounded
but
by
listen,
family.
I mean. You've done this before. You stepped away before. You did like for a decade, didn't you, to look after your kids?
Yeah, and I kind of thought, you know, the way you think that journey is over. You kind of think, okay, I've done it. But actually, you kind of, what's happened is I've got a kid doing the Leaving Cert as well. And my dad died. It was really strange. And I thought, that's fine. You know, he had a great life. But actually... you carry your kind of little journeys with you. And then I kind of thought, actually, I have to stay home for a year. I have to, because we're on the road a lot. Like it's a very, Home Rescue is extremely intense. The work that goes into it is incredible. It's like, it's a force of nature. And like that, I'm hoping I will, you know, rejoin at some stage, but for the moment I'm aside. But yeah, I think stepping aside was something I thought I would never get back. You know, the way as women, you're kind of told, okay, you're done that now. you're done, that's it. You've had the babies, you're off career. But really, you still have lots to offer. And you, because I think also of the dreaded social media and all of that, you still stay connected. You're still making, you're still involved in the world in a different way. But it has brought us closer as well, if you know what I mean.
But so it's, it's such an interesting point, because I do think it affects women really badly.
Oh, it's terrible. And you are, I mean, you know, the way you can't, I mean, I would be a real doer. I'm a real kind of, I would be very kind of get up and go-ish. That sounds so cliche, but I'm a real sort of like, I'll do this, grand. I, you know, motor on and all that sort of stuff, and kind of country woman in that way, where you kind of do things, you achieve things by doing. So if you know, you'd be first round with a pot of tea or sandwiches. This year, no, there was no pots of tea. So one part of my life involved somebody, you know, falling off a bike and getting open heart surgery. There is no escaping life. Like, life just throws things in front of people. But I suppose I was listening to Maureen Gaffney was talking at our conference, and she talked about, she's very, very interesting. She was talking about the impact of COVID and everything. And she said, you can, it, you know, you have, like, life is about throwing stuff. It's how you make that journey through it. So I just reckon this is part of the journey. And I'm going to continue that story, but in a different direction. Like, I just won't be able, I can't go around the country, like, for 6 months. I have to be with my kids at the moment.
No, and do you know what? You end up coming out of this the better for it. You know in your gut that you're making the right decision for you and your family. And really, at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
They're your boat. Like, if you're, I've always thought that when the first time I did it, my kids are, and my family are everything to me. So there's no kind of, I don't, you know, they're my journey. They're my life story. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm sure you feel it as well. Like, it is, I mean, Orty, to be fair to Orty as well, they really tried to adapt it so they could keep me going. They were extremely good about it. But I was like, on this, you know, you carry your journey with you. So you can't be in two places mentally or emotionally at the same time. But your family are your boat. So you get that boat right. If the boat's not right, you can't do anything. So you have to stay. And as a mum sometimes, and it's a terrible cliche, you know, that's just a job for life.
Listen, I hear you. And when that job is going well, nothing else matters. And when it's not going well, you do need to pause and just take stock and be with yourself and be with your kids. So you will be watching Peter on Hell Week, yeah?
I can't watch him on Hell Week at the moment because I was up in crisis, but I knew when he was doing it, we were doing meetings, so I knew he was fine for the first couple of weeks. I find Hell Week terrifying to watch. Terrifying.
Don't we all?
So squeamish. I'm like, I've got no head for heights, all of those things. But I'll be watching it. But now I would be very surprised. I don't know the results, but he is physically did the masters. He's all over the shop. He's very, very strong physically and mentally. He had to deal with me. That fellow was strong.
Roisin, where can people get more info about the National Upcycling Challenge?
Mywaste.ie. They're a fantastic organisation. I'm going to say something, that this competition is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I would like to do a big call out to designers and furniture makers, product makers, NCAD, art students. You should all be entering this. This is where we need to be. This is where people are abroad. It isn't just for kind of small groups around the country or upside. It is really about rethinking waste and materials. So it's mywaste.ie, and also being hosted by the Rediscovery Centre up in Ballymun, so, which is worth a visit anyway in itself. It's one of these buildings that's entirely self-contained. Everything, you know, it's a kind of a landmark building in terms of renewables. So always worth visiting there as well. So there you go.
And where can people see more of your work, Roisin?
When will people see more of my work? Well, I suppose they'll be I'm on Instagram, Roisin Murphy Architect, and then I suppose I'll be back in the new year. And I'm also very sadly, like all people, doing a quiet retirement and writing a book. So there you go.
Oh, listen.
Oh yeah. I'm on Friday. I forgot as well. I'm doing a talk on Friday. For the Irish Architectural Foundation, we're having a conversation. It's called The Big Debate. And it's, you know, part of Open House. I don't know if you know anything about Lottie, about Open House.
I do, of course.
Right. Well, I'm hosting the talk this year, and I'm doing it with the producer. I don't know if you saw the program. I did. And I'm going to be making more of these kind of programs, which is Roisin Murphy's Big City Plan. And where we talked about urbanism, and we're talking there about the kind of the changes of community and art spaces and how Dublin is changing in that kind of cultural heritage way, I think we touched on in the programme. And that's been hosted in Trinity College on Friday night.
So Roisin, hang on a second. Yeah. The book.
Oh, the book, yeah.
Where are we with the book?
We are just still writing it. I've been writing it for 2 years. That's the other reason I'm kind of going, I want to actually finish it. Because I think I'll keep going and keep going, and I'm a busy enough woman. So I'm taking with this year the time out to finish writing.
So when do you think you'll have it finished?
I don't know. I won't make the Christmas market at this rate, though.
But will we have it before the summer next year?
Yes, I'm hoping we'll have it before the summer next year. And then I'm hoping that, like, I'm not gone. I'm just not running around like the blue arse equivalent fly. I'm kind of going, I want to be present for my family. So I have to be. It's, you know, it's like the juggling mother, as many of you, I'm hoping, will be out there going, I know exactly what she means.
Yeah, but Jesus, you still seem to have your hands pretty full. Roisin, listen, thanks. Thank you so much for coming on to chat to us today.
Oh, thanks, Lottie.
Yeah, really. And the best of luck with all that orthodontic work.
Oh, yes, not mine. Thanks be to God. It's just the sons, but he'll be fine. He will be fine. He's just lucky to get a spot. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Yeah, that's what it's all about at the moment.
So the competition is now open for applications on mywaste.ie. There's a closing date of Thursday, the 27th of October. And if I were you, I'd get on it.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.